Congregation is invited to stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty.
God shines forth.
Our God comes. He does not keep silence.
Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth.
He may judge his people.
Gather to me, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak.
O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you.
Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds.
For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills.
I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine.
Do I eat the flesh of bulls?
Or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
And perform your vows to the Most High.
And call upon me in the day of trouble.
I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people, who call upon you, and grant that they both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 8, starting at verse 6. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was nothing in the ark except two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. From Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. The text for this morning's sermon is both from the gospel reading and from our psalm, which we had for the intro at Psalm 50. To start, I read two verses from the gospel reading, Luke 2, and also two verses from Psalm 50. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And then from Psalm 50, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. 12 years old, and he was challenging the PhDs. That's what Jesus was doing. At the temple, he was a young man, and it was normal for the 12-year-old to start to join his parents for the festivals. That was normal practice. And Mary and Joseph were raising him as a good Israelite, as a good Jew. But he stayed behind at the temple, and those teachers he spoke to that are referred to in the reading are the top theologians of his day. Those are the top people. They met in Jerusalem. They met at the temple. They discussed the prophets and Moses, all their writings. That's what he was talking about with them. And they were amazed. Listen to Jesus teach. As even a 12-year-old, he was worth listening to. He challenged. He spoke. He answered. The Bible is God's word. When we listen to, study, ponder upon the Bible, we are listening to Jesus talk to us. Moses, the prophets, the disciples, things written by Paul, the visions and dreams given to John and other prophets, these were all given by Jesus. They were directed by Jesus. When we listen and learn and read and study and ponder and pray about God's word, we are in that temple that day listening and talking with Jesus. We listen to Jesus teach, and we will be amazed. Absolutely amazed how God's word applies to our lives and gives us answers. Oh, maybe it won't tell us to buy the new Ford F-150 or keep the old Silverado. I don't know if any of you are exactly doing that. I don't have any ideas. But he will give us guidance in our priorities, in ideas how we should live our lives, how to make decisions. He will. And we read through the very many narratives and letters and teachings in the Bible, and they apply. And God's Holy Spirit makes it strong in our minds and hearts. In the set of devotions for this week, Luther talks about the importance of God's word in our lives in several of the devotions. And I quote the very last devotion that was for next Saturday, the middle paragraph. Luther said, here Paul states that the scriptures are comforting and give patience and consolation. There is nothing else that comforts the soul more, even in the slightest temptations. For anything else whereby a man seeks consolation for himself, however great it may be, is quite uncertain. For the heart always has a nagging feeling, who knows whether it is right? Oh, that I could be sure! When the heart clings to God's word, it can say without any wavering, this is God's word. It cannot lie to me or mislead me. Of that I am certain. To be absolutely sure in life is to stand on God's word. We will not receive direct directions, buy this car, leave this job, get this education. It's not that. What it is, it's underneath those things. Why are you buying the car? Why are you getting that education? Why are you leaving this job to another one? God's word goes underneath into our hearts and minds and helps us think about these decisions that we have day to day. As I prepared the bulletin and thinking about this week, Psalm 50 really is important. First of all, I don't know if you caught it, but in verse 7, God said, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak." God over and over again in the Old Testament says, "Listen, hear, I'm talking to you." What if you were in the temple that day when Jesus was there, or for those couple of days that he was there, and you decided to go home, "I'm not going to listen to this guy"? Well, you wouldn't have heard him. But God over and over again said, "Hear, I will speak." So God promises to speak to us in his word. Then jumping to verses 14 and 15 are very, very important teachings. He says, "Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving." You see, when we come to church or in other times in our life, and we give thanks to God for certain things that he's done, what is that saying? When we give thanks to God, it means we believe and know God did it. You don't give thanks to somebody if they didn't do anything for you. But when we give thanks, and that's our sacrifice, "Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this healing. Thank you for this family member. Thank you for this new job. Thank you for not letting the accident be any worse than it was." Whatever it might be, we are confessing and saying, "I believe, God, you're in control. And you did this good thing for me." It is a statement of faith. Also in verse 14, it says, "Perform your vows before the Most High." A vow. So in the Old Testament times, people, these were not required sacrifices, but there were certain sacrifices that they could make a vow, a plan before God. And they would bring this and they would offer a sacrifice. And when those things came to fullness, they would also offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Normally, we would not offer a vow with an animal sacrifice, but we make plans all the time. All the time. The psalmist is saying, make your vows, make your plans with the Most High, with God in mind. Think of these future events. Think of these decisions today and tomorrow and next year. And have God in mind. I want to do what you want me to do, God. Help me, lead me, show me the way. I vow to be in your will as best as I can. That is a statement of faith. Verse 15 of Psalm 50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." That phrase right there is very, very important in the whole Lutheran Reformation. Just that phrase. Because that phrase is a phrase of faith, of the first commandment. Luther says, you only call upon any God that you believe can actually help you. "You shall have no other gods before me." Well, who do you call upon in the day of trouble? You call upon God, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you call on something else and trust in something else more than God, that's your God. But God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." This is worship. This is to bring our hearts and minds and problems before God. Is to say, "God, you're in charge. I trust that you are going to do the right thing. What's good for me?" And maybe we ourselves would have a different plan, but we're going to leave it up to God. We make decisions, but God, you're going to work it out. The last part of verse 15 says, I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Now again, God, the psalmist is quoting God and saying, I will deliver you and you will glorify me. If we believe that these good things are from God, we will glorify him. That's faith. If we think they're from some other power, we will glorify that other power. Do you see that? Whoever you give thanks to and believe helps you, that is our God. And God says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. This is worship. Whether it's more formal here in church, or in our lives, in our private prayer life, or meeting with family members or other Christians. And we pray and give thanks to God for things. The understanding of God's word, how it interacts with our lives, is exactly what Jesus wants to teach us. Exactly what he wants to help us to learn and do day in, day out, day in, day out. From that quote of Luther on that last devotion from next Saturday, there's one short two sentences after that longer quote. And Luther said, the greatest struggle in which we must engage is to keep the word and remain steadfast in it. If this word is torn from a man's heart, he is lost. The greatest struggle is not coronavirus. The greatest struggle is not other illnesses. The greatest struggle is not family problems. The greatest struggle is that God's word stays in our hearts and minds and lives. With God's word, we can go through these things. We can call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver us, and we will glorify him. That's the thing that we hold together. And that was expressed with words at the council meeting on Thursday night. We need God's word. And I was pleased because I've been missing to teach God's word. But for us as Christians to say we need God's word, this is listening to Jesus in the temple that day. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for teaching those people gathered around you in the temple that day. For this was so important that it came to us in Holy Scripture, that you did this. And yet as a young man, you also were submissive and obeyed your parents. And we thank you for all those things you did in your young life and all those things you also did as a grown man, healing and teaching, suffering, dying, and rising again for us. We ask you to give insights, your insights into your word. We ask you to give us your love that you have for God's word and the Old Testament prophets, that you love to talk about them. Help us to have that same love and desire. And Lord, keep us close. And even when we waver, call us back. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the eternal Word made flesh and his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth, that his praise would be extended into all the world, and that many more with us would come to hope in his steadfast love, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church and her members, that by God's mercies he would lead us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him. For the sending of faithful pastors to preach Christ's gospel among us, and for sober judgment among all Christians, that none would consider himself more highly than another, but that each would live and serve according to the measure of faith assigned by God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian homes, that following the examples of our Lord Jesus, all children would be diligent to hear the word of God, grow in wisdom and stature, submit to earthly parents, and always be about the Heavenly Father's business and in his house. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders and elected officials of our nation, especially for their wisdom, that God would also enable them to discern between good and evil and govern our people wisely. That God would give peaceful transitions of power in our nation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those fellow citizens who serve us day in and day out, that the Lord would guide and protect them and their families. We remember before God law enforcement, firefighters, all medical personnel, military personnel, all chaplains, educators, counselors, retail and transportation workers, and all food producers. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and everyone in any kind of need, for patience and healing according to God's will, in thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness shown to us in Christ. We remember Margaret, Bernita, Carolyn, Charlotte, Isaac, Loretta, Kathy, Carlin, Shirley, Bryston, Bill, Jason, Lori, Sue, Deborah, Becky, David, Brian, Gary, Keith, Dave, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. And we pray for those who mourn. We remember the family of Julie Hauser Myers. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, in mercy you have established the Christian home among us. We beseech you to so rule and direct our hearts that we may be good examples to children and those subject to us, and not offend them by word or deed, but faithfully teach them to love your church and hear your blessed word.
Give them your spirit and grace, that this seed may bring forth good fruit, so that
our home life may advance your glory, honor, and praise, as well as our own improvement and welfare, and give offense to no one. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Of God.